You've been at a raging party all night. It's far too late now, and most people have left, so you decide to walk home. You make it into your house and fall onto your bed, but you're not under the blankets. Your body is tired and needs sleep, but your mind is as energetic and vibrant as when the party was in full form. You are about to pass out, but you instinctively message a few friends, and in a few moments, you're on your way back out the door again.
Transistor sin is that crucial moment when you're in your bed, about to call it quits, but decide to go out again and celebrate. Hello and good evening. I'm William Morgan, and you are listening to 42 Minutes, a production of SyncBook Radio and thesyncbook.com, a weekly conversation with the interesting artists and thinkers of our day. You can find us online at 42minutes.com, and you can reach us by sending a message to mail at 42minutes.com. You can also follow our tweets at Sync42 and at SyncBook.
Today is the 10th day of March, and this is week number 2 of our Treefort Music Fest showcase. Tonight we share 42 minutes with Transistor Send, and tomorrow, Triathlon. Just a couple of the 400 plus bands playing Treefort Music Fest this year. Treefort, of course, is the annual music festival in Boise, Idaho, which occurs March 25th through the 29th. That is so much more than just music, but holy smokes, it's that too. Explore and get your tickets now at TreefortMusicFest.com. Tonight for episode number 175, we have the pleasure of hosting Transistor Send in SyncBook Radio Studios West.
Also known as Doug's House. But yes, Transistor Send is a Boise outfit consisting of Casey Cathy, Zach Shearwood, and Jared Gray, a newish band that has really taken Boise by storm, releasing an EP entitled Ships last year, available on their Bandcamp page, which is transistorssend.bandcamp.com. That's Transistors Send. It's Transistor Send. All one word, so it looks weird, but and secure a main stage performance this year at Treefort. Now you can see them Sunday, March 29th at 3:05 p.m. and really exactly 3:05. And yes, this is on the same bill as TV on the Radio. Welcome, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, we're good. Well. We're good.
Okay, and so who do we have in here tonight?
Got Jared Gray.
We got Casey Cathy.
And you guys do what in Transistor Send?
I'm bass. Jared Gray on the bass.
Yeah, and I do vocals and guitar and samples and such.
And then Zach is the drummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Zach wasn't able to make it tonight, so okay. He had to be up bright and early in the morning. Sure. A little too late for him.
And now, the interesting thing about your drummer and you guys is that because you're triggering a lot of samples and loops, you guys have to play to a click track? Is this true?
Yeah, we have like kind of a, you know, it's not like a standard click track, but yeah, there's definitely a beat that's in the background, and Zach and I are the only ones on it, so we actually leave Jared more free form, so he's free to kind of do what, you know, listen to the main mix. But yeah, so that's kind of like the what you have to do almost with what we're doing. Seems to make the most sense. And
then this is kind of a, can you get the same sounds that you have on the album live then?
Yeah, exactly. Basically, I just, you know, I'm a big fan of recording, so I export a lot of the samples to like Ableton and really just trigger them there with, you know, MIDI controllers and things. And Zach has one too, so he triggers a lot of the beat-oriented samples, and I'll trigger more of the less tempo synced stuff. And yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, you know, and it's our set. We get the feedback from this particularly, and we know that it's different, but the set is different than the record. You know, like I think that we all like to see bands and go to a show and not just be going, oh, this sounds exactly like the record. You know, there's nothing, anything different or a little more amped up. Our set is definitely amped up and there's slight changes that make it a little more, I don't know, entertaining, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I'm not too good at recording yet, so I haven't quite been able to capture our live sound exactly.
It's
they're definitely two different beasts.
When was your first show?
Oh, God.
It was in May, like mid-May.
May?
Of?
2014.
So, I mean, you are...
Yeah, we played...
Crux.
At the Crux, we played with a band called, a local band called Jumping Sharks.
Moon Honey.
And then a band called Moon Honey. That was like a tour.
It was a huge bill. There was like 5 bands. It was like an introductory thing to see like if we were okay or not, kind of.
It was fun.
I think I went to that one.
Did
or
you?
Wait, did you go? No, you guys did one in December, maybe too?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure.
December?
I mean, so the point is, you haven't had that many shows together.
No, actually, not really.
No. I mean, but the bills that we have been on have been pretty fun. Like, we played with some bands that have come through Boise and also that are somewhat bigger touring acts. Like, we played with a band called Pillar Point that was on
Polyvinyl. Yeah.
We opened for Wild Ones, who are some of, you know, I would say our friends from Portland. We played with them both times. They've come through town.
I think they're coming back, right?
Yeah.
For Treefort.
Yeah.
I think they're playing on... When, or Thursday?
I think they're at the Neurolux sometime.
I think it's on Thursday.
Yeah, they're super rad.
Yeah, they're super great. They've been super friendly and just, you know, it's always nice to have touring bands that, like, when you play with them, they're just not pretentious, and these guys are definitely not. They're just...
Very transparent.
Yeah.
They're cool.
Good people. And then, I don't know. I'm trying to think of all the shows.
But it's a handful of shows, then.
Yeah, it's not too many.
Yeah.
Maybe 10, around 10 or so total.
Yeah, we got to play with Thin Riggins, too, which was really
awesome.
Oh,
yeah. Thick Business and Thin Riggins.
Yeah, Thick Business was great, too. Oh, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fun. Definitely check them out.
And so have you've never performed outside then, I'm guessing.
Of Boise? Besides
No, just out, like at an outdoor venue.
No,
I'm actually excited to see how this is going to turn out, really.
I hope the weather's nice. Yeah.
Well, I mean, your genre of music is so unusual. I've been talking to Doug. I think I've come up with a title for it, if you don't mind me interjecting. I call it Transcendental Boise Meditation.
I like that a lot. Yeah.
That's it reminds me a lot of like Mr. Kite from, you know, what is that, Sergeant Pepper's by the Beatles, because there's a little trippy thing going on, right? There's like this nice, and then all of a sudden you just change up the grade, like the alarm that goes off in Mr. Kite, like, okay, you dudes were tripping, but now it's time to wake up.
I like that. That's good. That's really good.
Yeah, I'm gonna steal that.
That's sure. I like that you compared it to something that's not so relevant even today. Because we get, I get.
Well, so yeah, who?
Well, let's just put it this way. I have a friend that.
Because when I first saw you, the only thing that I had was the slide guitar that I latched onto,
yeah.
And I thought it kind of sounds like Delicate Steve just a little bit.
Oh, nice.
But
yeah, that's cool.
Jerry's like, who's that?
They're cool.
Yeah, I wasn't really too familiar with them. I know I heard the name so much, but I just wasn't. I didn't get the Delicate Steve reference. My thing was, I had the first person that actually told me when he saw us play, and he caught our first show, and he goes, you know what it really reminded me of was, he's like, if Iron and Wine and Animal Collective had a baby, this is what it would be, because it's melodic and soothing, but then it's like chaotic and kind of like funky with the samples and like the electronics.
You didn't like that, or you did like that?
No, I kind of did like
I
it.
I
like
that.
It was kind of like refreshing. I was like, well, if I can mix two artists that I really enjoy, and you know, we can kind of bring it full circle, that's cool. Yeah.
The thing that I think it's interesting is that there's a certain sound that works on the main stage, and I think you guys have that sound that's kind of, it's big and it's, yeah, so I'm really curious to see.
Yeah.
I think it's going to sound great.
A real full sound.
Yeah.
You know, we actually did have a larger stage performance. We did play at the Knitting Factory last year.
Yeah.
We opened for the band Tennis. And we also, there was another opening act called Pure Bathing Culture. And it was great, because it was kind of fun to hear ourselves even through the monitors on stage, but... To hear it it was loud. You know what I mean? Like it's big.
Yeah.
It's even reverberating off the walls. It's just kind of like
very big sound.
Very big sound, and it's kind of. I hope we do well. I think it'll be received really well. I think it's especially our slot on Sunday is great. You know, because we get to enjoy the weekend. We get to go Wednesday through Saturday and kind of check out a lot of the acts. And Sunday we get to like perform and also get to check out TV on the radio.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Who else are you looking forward to?
don't know. What are you looking forward to, Casey?
Gosh, I don't know. I need to look at the lineup.
Are you both from Boise?
I'm from Pocatello, originally.
I was born and raised in Nampa.
So then how long have you guys been in town? Recent, in the recent past?
3 years, I think, for me, actually.
I've lived off and on in Boise for the last, 29, so 11 years.
How many tree forts have you guys seen?
Two previous, besides this one.
I got to go last year for my first tree fort. I do have a son who's relatively young, and I wasn't able to go for the first two.
This is okay.
Because I'm a full-time dad, so that's kind of a little damper in some of the dad fun that is tree fort. But last year was great. I got to check out some really cool stuff. Like, I was really surprised with Run the Jewels. Run the Jewels last year was awesome.
It was pretty good.
Oh my God, it was great. They're just blowing up anyways.
But yeah, so what are you guys interested in seeing?
I like a lot of the locals. Magic Sword and Street Fever and Thick Business. And
yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really curious to see Logan Hyde perform.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
You know, and that's going to be his first, as far as I know, his first live performance of the music that he's put out recently.
And is he performing with a band, do you know?
Yeah, he's going to have a band.
And that's at the Shrine?
That's going to be at the Shriner. I don't know the date, but
Built to Spill, Wild Ones, Rebel,
Rebel Bucket, we were just listening to Rebel Bucket in the car right over here. I think I'm really excited for TV on the Radio, honestly.
Check Check Check's gonna be super cool too.
Check Check Check's gonna be great on Saturday night. I want to check out Twerps. I do want to check out Triathlon. I'm really liking that a lot. I like the surfy kind of, rock. I like melody-driven stuff, so I'm kind of like, want to, get my dance on and bob my head a little bit. But I think besides that, I really want to check out, the Helly Goats? You know who the Helly Goats are?
Maybe.
They're really great. I go check them out, for sure.
And Josh Ritter, of course.
Josh Ritter would be good.
I like Josh Ritter a lot.
I can check that one out. Hey, there's so many bands, man. It's so tough. I think that I want to go see Omar Saliman so I can hear the...
Yeah, that'll be...
Oh, yeah. It's just like, the craze on it's so great. It's just, you don't want to think it's just for show, but it is a show. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's got his own thing, but it's going to be packed. I guarantee it. Huh. Omar Saliman is going to... I don't know. Are you familiar?
No, I mean, it sounds... Is he like the ultimate wedding performer?
He is apparently the ultimate wedding performer, and he's from Syria, and he is absolutely... It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be a spectacle. So hopefully I can make that one.
Yeah.
How are we doing on time?
Easy there, Punchy. So how did you guys meet? How did you guys get to be a band?
That's a good question. I guess Jared and I jammed pretty early, actually, with like different people, but I was always kind of searching for musicians here in Boise, and Jared and I were like, we kind of like linked up, and we jammed with a drummer, and it didn't work out too well, and then finally I met Zach, who was just a super talented drummer, because he came with Virgil. Do you remember Virgil? And which is like now Thick Business, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But so he was playing with them, and then kind of they went their separate ways, and he's just a phenomenal drummer. So I was like, I knew Jared already, and it's probably around last January.
It was about a year ago. No, it was before that, actually. I think it was probably November I met Casey, about that time. Yeah. And then, we did BGM with somebody, and it wasn't a great fit. We kind of tested some other stuff out, and then...
The click is actually difficult for, you have to have some... You have to really think about doing. Yeah, it is tough to use it sometimes.
Let's put it this way. Finding a drummer that can play to the samples in a click track and stay on beat and then also just fucking kill it is pretty hard. Because most drummers don't want to have that in their ear. They want to go with the flow. And like, it is...
You have to be like a studio drummer.
If the listeners out there know what a click track is, go...
Yeah.
So it drives me.
At least it's not that annoying. At least it's more of a.
yeah,
it's more of a. It's not a.
So. We've got the porno hi-hat going.
Yeah, it's not a... Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, we do it to a jazz. We have a jazz background.
Yeah, you know, it has to be pretty spot on because with so many, like, you know, a lot of the stuff that Casey's, you know, already set up as far as the songs and triggering, and also with layering of the guitars and how many layers we do on top of the rhythm section, there's a lot going on, and if it's not on point, then it's chaotic in a bad way, not chaotic
yeah.
in a collective.
You have to sync up all those things, you know.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So... You've got drums, bass, guitar, that's a rock band you're playing, but as you're creating loops.
Yeah. So yeah, I have this loop station.
So the drummer, is he creating loops also, or is he playing
no.
a basic beat?
Yeah, he's just listening, yeah. He's playing just kind of on top of it, and he's triggering samples from the computer, which is synced to the loop station. So it took forever to figure out, honestly, but...
No, shit.
Yeah, Will, why aren't you going to come out the tree for it?
They don't sponsor me a plane ticket yet. So they have. But it sounds unreal. I mean, I'm kind of wondering what this is doing as far as musical culture in Boise. I mean, it must be inspiring all kind of young musicians, in my opinion. I don't know. I've never heard of anything like this before. 200 and some odd bands. I mean, it's just crazy.
More like 400 this year.
Yeah,
that's insane. It's insane. I mean, it's got to do something for you. I know it's got to do something for you guys, economy wise. But I imagine that it's just starting a culture that hasn't even developed yet.
Well, that's the cool thing is, like, you really have, like, and this is why I said that, like, last year was my first year, and it was kind of fun because I feel like the first 2 years I missed, and I mean, unfortunately I missed them, but I feel like last year was kind of magical to me because it made me feel like this is the best damn thing that happens in my town all year.
It really is.
This is, like, as far as I'm concerned in Boise, this is the pinnacle of fun. And if you're a music lover, why would you not go? You know, I've heard people bitch about the whole, like, oh, it's $160. Well, you know what? Do you like music? Do you want to go have the time of your life for, like, 5 days? It's like going to Disneyland in Boise. You know, like, you want to go out and you want to go have a great time? This is it, man. Like, quit bitching and just spend the money and go.
And everyone is out, too.
Oh, and you know what was great
about
this?
Anyone you want to see.
Totally. Great. And, you know, and everybody's in the best mood. You know, it's the vibe is just surreal. And actually, I did look up, I don't know why I looked this up last year, but I looked up arrests that were pertaining to Treefort. There was actually zero arrests that were anything.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly. You live in Colorado.
Right?
Oh, those dopers, man.
All right. Let's get this. Wow. I got to know, though, I mean, as growing up, being musicians, who has inspired you? I love this question.
Oh, this is fun. Casey, I kind of want to know what Casey has to say.
Oh, man, yeah, that's a tough question, but I don't know. A lot of Icelandic stuff, definitely Sue Rose, I think, seems to come out in the music mm-hmm. more so than most other bands, but I also really like Pinback, Radiohead, of course.
Sure.
Yeah, I can hear that, yeah.
Honestly, yeah, Death Cab, of course, Modest Mouse, but...
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know what's influencing the music. I assume those guys have something to do with it.
So tell us a little bit about your process as far as lyrics and putting everything together goes. Not the technical aspect, but the creative aspect.
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I just kind of write the music and then... kind of phonetically piece together lyrics and stuff of, like, whatever, you know, I'm feeling or whatever.
So music comes first.
The music definitely comes first, and then I kind of, like, will phonetically, like sing things and then replace that, you know, with lyrics that kind of mean something to me, you know, whatever I want the song to be about. Some of the lyrics are kind of cheesy in my opinion, but anyway, it's a lot of relationship type stuff, but yeah, that's what I like to kind of do, I suppose.
How long did you work on Ships?
A lot of that material was very old, actually, like 3 years old now. Or even more, actually, like 3 or 4 years old. It was honestly, we just chipped away at it for a long time. Like, so I had this like base of material, and then just we would just slowly chip away at it. You know, Jared and Zach would write their own parts to it, and it kept evolving.
And that was what was fun for myself, because you know, I mean, I've been playing music for a long time, and I you know, play other instruments too, but like, when Casey got these songs, I was like, and I love playing bass. Like, I really do. Like, out of a lot of instruments, you know, a lot of people are like, well, bass is easy. You know, bass is this and that. And really, to be honest with you, I feel like it's hard to find solid bass players, because I was talking to these guys that some people want to go a little too crazy, and they want to not focus on what the song needs, but more of like a shining through. Because bass is the carrier.
Yeah.
And so, that being said, like, a lot of the songs, if you really, especially live, from the record, the bass parts are very spot specific for like picking up a certain like vibe. For instance, like SSN. Like, I mean, it's very bass driven, but it's not fast. It's not fast paced. It's very like low and deep and long drawn out.
Yeah.
And so like, but it was cool is I came in to play with Casey, and he already had these songs ideas, and so we kind of run through, you know, what would sound good, and then, you know, Zach started playing with us too, and it was even better because Zach just
was writing incredible, yeah, drum parts.
He's such a great drummer.
Yeah, he made me realize how like artistic you can be with drums.
He's
which is something I lack. I like to play drums, but
I swear every single time I play with him, he's just doing something else that I'm just like. And the thing is, a lot of bands take time, a lot of time, and I feel like we really, sadly enough, we don't have a lot of time together, so when it's there, it's like maybe an hour or 2 hours a week, and we get together and we play, and it's just, there's something special what we have, because it's just, that's all we have, but it, always something is good, something good is always coming out of it, every single time, and it's very progressive, like we don't necessarily need a ton of time on something. Obviously recording helps tighten things up as well, because then it's more solidified and you're really going through it and listening to it and picking it apart and going.
Yeah, I'm always constantly recording and re-recording and taking away parts and
And we've actually been recording our like rehearsals the last couple times just to like piece together from what we've already played, and if we do like get into like a jam situation or like running through a chord progression or a piece of the song, like what we like, what we don't like. And then at that point, it's just like, this, play it.
Yeah, we can remember it.
And it's, boom, it's in the books, so.
And then as far as working towards new material, how's that going?
It's good.
It's going good. It's going really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just kind of like to, you know, right now I'm kind of like trying to figure out like kind of a theme that I want to kind of do for this next, like for a next release or whatever. And so it's really nice, like I'll kind of establish a base, and then at this point I'm just, you know, having these guys write their parts, you know, so it's much more of a band situation than it ever has been. You know, just letting these guys write parts to, you know, various parts, and we kind of, you know, guide the song in the way it needs to go.
And it's going great, you know, and like I think we want to continue on with, you know, with what Casey's doing, especially with the songs that we are working on. I mean, we're working on a couple songs, don't really want to give too much away, but
sure.
We have a couple songs we're working on, they're going great. It's something that we're going to focus on even more, but it's the little hints of, you know, especially from the EP, how many samples and background tracks and levels and how everything, because like I said before, like we want to kind of keep that.
Yeah, we're trying to like figure out what is like success, you know, what people like with this sound and try and keep it, but also like go in a new direction and kind of like evolve a little bit.
Yeah.
While keeping the same sound and, you know, various things, but not be the same exact, you know. Trying to be conscious of that.
Will, you got any questions?
Artwork. I'm wondering about, especially like the artwork. I mean, this looks like Sigmund Freud playing with one of those little music boxes
really,
that you turn while
awesome.
A monkey dances.
You're going to love this story. And I'm going to let Casey tell you, but I'm also going to interrupt him because I'm talking and I like to interrupt all the time.
Jared is the talker. No, it's really cool. This is actually my family's like photos back in like 50s, 60s. My grandparents asked me to kind of, you know, print out these 35mm slides and turn them into photos. And yeah, some of them are really cool. And yeah, so it's like natural grain and everything on it. And my brother is a graphic design artist actually here in Boise. And he's just, you know, incredible. And So he kind of, you know, did some things to it, made it very aesthetic and very nice. But yeah, so it's all, you know, just family photos, really.
So is that like your grandpa or whatever?
No, that's just someone in Europe that my grandpa took a picture of.
Just because he's
what
old.
City? What city is that? Grandpa. Like, where is that?
Honestly, I wanna say like somewhere in Belgium or something. Honestly, but I'm not sure. In the back photo, I don't know if you have access to that, but on the back is Alcatraz.
Nice.
In California, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's kind of serendipitous, I would say. I mean, okay, so who's the one who actually knows Doug?
Doug who?
Is Doug?
Oh, you mean like your Doug?
Yeah, that Doug, yeah.
It's
he's
Jared.
Talking about Doug
it's
Marsh.
It's me. It's
which one of you know Doug Marsh?
So does he ever tell you or talk to you about the kooky shit that he's into?
Oh, dude.
Is he into kooky shit?
Like, what kind of kooky shit?
I'm curious now.
Like the sink stuff. I mean, this is a show that's widely based on mostly art, but I mean, our focus is synchronicity. I'm wondering what you guys think about that. Okay, we just got shrugs. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Cricket.
Cricket.
Well, you know, I mean, like, actually, when Doug, because Doug asked me if we would all like to do the show, and I said absolutely. You know, like. You know, we're all about this, especially, you know, what you guys are doing, but also that you're really backing this festival, which goes back to what you asked earlier about how great this festival is in Boise. And us as musicians, like, we're really excited about this, you know, this is really, really fun. But, you know, you guys are tapping into stuff that's, you know, that we're into as far as music and culture. I mean, like, I haven't listened to too many of the podcasts, but I did listen to your guys with Eric Gilbert and Megan Stoll the other day, which was really, really fun.
Yeah, and I need to say, listeners, that I kept saying this was my first live interview in that instance. It was my first on-location interview. So, like, last year during Tree Fort...
Magic Sword.
We did Magic Sword,
oh,
the
nice.
Keeper of the Magic Sword, in full regalia.
He
I mean,
very nice.
But this is how would the keeper come, right?
Of course,
he came
sure.
Full regalia.
Of course, the keeper was, of course, right? The sword.
Did he bring his sword?
The sword, yes.
The actual sword.
And then
was
he broke
in
my
your
heart.
House?
I thought, you know, like, am I the chosen one? You've come to my house.
Right. Naturally.
Did you bring me the sword? Because I'm.
My question is.
All of a sudden, you find yourself in a heavy metal.
Right. He's like. He totally broke my heart on live radio.
That must be really difficult.
It was. It was devastating.
Oh, God. My question is, were the kids awake to see this?
Stay away, stay away. He's got a sword. And then we talked to Story Grub in the same way last year, too.
Yes.
And then Dustin was with him, and they played a couple songs. It was fun.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be capable of doing that.
Yeah,
with our
I don't
setup.
Think that really works out so hot.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And if we did, maybe there might be a song we could probably do acoustically, but that would have to be something worked out later.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the things that I'm gonna do during this series is I'm gonna go to Deep Creep's rehearsal space.
Oh yeah.
And talk to them, and then hopefully get them to play.
That's a good idea.
A couple songs.
I will say.
You will say.
Recording that could be a little tricky with your...
With my iPhone?
That's a lot of noise. That's a lot of high-end, low-end.
Yeah. We'll just see how it goes.
I don't know.
Yeah. The name, Transistor Sin, in the bio, which we took off of the Tree Fort website, and it says THR at the bottom.
Right. That's our friend. He wrote that for
us.
Taylor Robert Hawkins.
Okay.
We credit him for that.
Sure. Okay. Did he come up with the name?
No.
So, like, he came up with an idea what a transistor send is.
Yeah, like the band at least, yeah.
But what is a transistor send
so
to
that,
you guys?
That was, to me, that was just a moniker that I kind of did. So I referenced, like, Pinback being a really big band of mine, favorite band of mine. Transistor send is, like, a quote or, like, a lyric in a song that they do from, like, an EP that they put out called... it's called Off Cell, but the song is Gray Machine. But yeah, I don't know. It's just something I really liked. I think it's aesthetic. And
yeah, Pin Beck kicks ass.
Yeah,
well, here's the strange thing with me is oftentimes I'll confuse a number of bands that aren't necessarily anything alike, but their names are similar.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And so, sadly, Pinback, Nickelback, and Nickel Creek
mm-hmm.
all fall into that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're radically different.
Right.
Because I think
sure
Nickelback
are.
Is the one that...
Yeah.
What do you have to feel, how do you feel about that, Will?
I'm just listening right now. I'm participating.
Because
so
I'm still trying
like
to process what he was saying.
Pinback, Nickelback, and Nickel Creek.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think I know one of those.
I don't
Please
know.
Forget.
Pinback is really cool. They're San Diego based.
Are they punkish?
No. They're I don't even know how to describe.
You're not familiar with Pinback?
I'm not familiar
with
Pinback.
They're
kind of
indie based.
But I think I associated them with Nickelback.
Oh, no, they're just a fantastic band.
How do you
years.
No, what?
He doesn't know Pinback.
It's cool. No, it's cool. It's
we're
cool.
judging.
No, I probably I've been around music and worked in music stores when they still existed and stuff. So there's a lot of stuff that I've been exposed to. But I mean, a Nickelback is so pop to me. And you recognized Pinback, if I remember correctly, in one of your inspirations, and it's it was categorized with like Radiohead and Icelandic sounds and stuff like that, which I can all understand and kind of through context clues.
Mm-hmm.
But throw Nickelback in there in my circuitry, like just pops a, you know, pops a transistor.
Black Lips, Black Kids, Black Angels.
Oh, we played with Black Kids.
I know Black Angels. I know Black Lips.
Yeah,
back to like bands we played with. We played with Black Kids. Long story short, their drummer took our drummer's hardware bag that was like beat up and like just like beat to shit. And like he took it. We took his without even knowing.
It's completely accidental. Yeah.
Oh yeah, completely accidental. But it was just hilarious because. Let me get an email from them.
It's an inside joke, yeah. Every time now we kind of thank Black Kids for a really, it's a pretty awesome drum hardware bag.
But you got an email from them saying, hey, did you see our hardware bag?
Yeah, and I didn't know that we had taken it, so I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then later, then they had to go on the road, and so, and then I was like, oh shit, I was wrong, I'm so sorry. Yeah.
No.
Now they know, so we messed up there.
Were you in town when Sigur Rós came?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
did you go to that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Did you both went to that?
I didn't know that he was there.
Yeah, this
was
there. This was before I long
ago. Was
Jared.
That 2000?
God, I think it was 2007.
It was for Top.
Yeah.
2007, 2008. I went and saw that. That was, I mean, I'm a big fan of them, too. I definitely have different influences than Casey does as far as music, but... Sigur Rós is just one of those bands that I think if anybody has a bit of a soul, they're probably going to enjoy Sigur Rós.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think April says the glory that is Sigur Rós.
They really are, though.
Yeah,
it's
that's
just,
awesome.
It's just something that, you know, it's something about Iceland, I feel like, or like Norway. The music that comes out of there is just like, it's spectacular, and then people all across the world can just grab onto it. They're just like, oh. And it could be like a, I don't even know how to explain it.
It's like untapped by society. It's very free form. And, yeah.
Have you heard the new Bjork?
Yeah.
No, but I have heard the new Jose Gonzalez. And holy shit, Jose. Oh, dude, it's so good. Oh, God. It's on repeat at my house all the time.
And then for our small world alert, last year, Will and I talked to Yvette. They had just been to South by Southwest, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And Jared here, the bass player.
Yeah, I used to live with Dale, the drummer. So the drummer of that, and he lives in Brooklyn now.
But when I contacted him, I had no idea that he was from Boise.
Yeah, he's a Boise native, man. Yeah, he's a fantastic. Dale was actually in a band that played, I think, the first Tree Fort on the main stage. They were called In the Shadow of the Mountain. And actually, it's on a local label that Eric Gilbert that does Tree Fort called Barnell Records. That release is out on his... We're at some page. I know that it was available. But yeah, Dale's a fantastic drummer. And Yvette was just a great set. I don't know if you caught it.
I did.
oh, and it was so, it's so heavy, but not in a way that's like metal necessarily. It was like watching, it was like watching somebody have a fucking heart attack. Like, you know, it's industrial, it's, it was just heavy. How much time we got?
Plenty.
Let's talk about lyrics. So like last week this came up with Deluxe, where there's so much fabulous musical stuff going on, mm-hmm. that, and I'm a different kind of person where I really focus on the music, and it's right. I have to be.
Well, he said the lyrics came second. He said he's changed that though. He's writing lyrics to the point where it's like, okay, what did that mean? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So he's feeling like, I think Sean was saying that he was feeling like people weren't paying attention to the lyrics, and that he put a lot of time and effort, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, there's a lot of cool musical stuff going on.
Yeah.
I'm wondering about how you feel about your, I mean, like the lyrical aspect.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And do you guys, when you listen to music, how long, do you initially listen to the lyrics, or is it something that you...
So for me, lyrics come second in what I listen to. I'm more of a musical guy.
Okay.
But I have the lyrics out there and everything on like what we do, and some people really vibe with that, you know, too. A lot of people vibe with the lyrics, which is cool. It's more of like a secondary thing for me, but I hope that there's also kind of some depth in them. And so like if someone does search beyond the music for the lyrics, I hope they're also like somewhat rewarded, you know. I hope they're kind of relatable to people, so I hope it's like multifaceted in that sense.
I'm actually having like a take back moment right now, because, you know, I mean, I have been listening to, you know, in hindsight, like listening to our record a lot more, just, you know, for my own enjoyment, and like listening to little things from it. And what I like about it is, you know, I mean, some of the lyrics are somewhat repetitive, but that's a good thing, because let's be honest. And I was actually talking to somebody about this today, about lyrics and music and how important it can be throughout a song. But I think most of the general public, and I don't want to say that this is everybody, because definitely people love songwriters and people that are really focused on the lyrics. But a lot of people that buy music, and especially in the music culture that's nowadays, that's so like, boom, 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 I'm bored. Boom, 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 I'm bored. Boom, boom. You know, like you're so bombarded with music because there's so many artists nowadays that you really don't focus on lyrics. Like if the music's not grabbing you first, then the lyrics aren't, obviously, because you're not going to be involved. You're not going to be grabbed by it. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
Then there's people that love, you know, songwriters. Like I'm a huge, he just came to town, like Dave Bazan, you know, like really great songwriter. There's tons of good stuff out there, but not everybody has that mindset. You know what I mean? Like, when people are listening to music, you can get really passed over very quickly.
So, I don't know. I kind of like the repetition, and it's kind of like an influence that, like, even James Blake, I would say, like, when I was listening to James Blake, I really liked that, like, lyrics were repeated, and I think that you can be really, like, artistic with that repetition of lyrics. So I always like to, repeat the lyrics and have some sort of, I think it's important for, I don't know, I think repeated lyrics are sometimes important to like really drive across, and it's like not too complicated. You can really understand what's going on. So I think you can be artistic with repeated lyrics over, which I do in a lot of the songs. I repeat the same thing kind of over and over again in the outros, at least.
Listen to Daft Punk. You like Daft Punk? Talk about repetitive.
Well,
that's like the rave culture. That's electronica culture.
Yeah.
I mean, you are so goofed up that you're like reaching for any pattern that'll help you. Any bass line, like rhythm. I mean, I don't know. It's the same thing as like, say, a shamanistic like drum circle where it's just... You don't have to think anymore. The pattern or the repetition is provided for you.
Yeah, it's incredible. I love stuff. Yeah.
And if you're really jacked up and having a religious experience, that shit comes in handy.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Yeah, totally. I think that we vibe with. I mean, I vibe with your whole statement. Like as far as you know, like with rhythm sections, I'm a big rhythm guy. Like I love like you know Paul Simon and like Fela Kuti.
Yeah.
I'm big on repetitive, and I'm big on like a lot of bass and like rhythm and like drums.
You know, it's interesting when you were talking about bass. You know, I was thinking of Polisa. Think about that thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, so it's two drums and a bass.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were at Treesport last year,
mm-hmm.
but just so solid.
Yeah. That was an experience. That whole set, I mean, I'm sure that they were great otherwise, but like that set was, for me, pretty much damn near perfect. I was in a place where I was just like, I wanted to like take my clothes off. I was like, oh.
Okay, that's time.
Oh man.
So we are winding down a little bit. What do we have to look forward to at the main stage on Sunday?
Well, my clothes will still be on. Main stage on Sunday? Like,
main stage on Sunday.
From us or
yeah.
from every
yeah.
great band that's going to be playing that day? There's some really good stuff. Like, I just listened to Sego, too.
Are they after you?
They're actually playing. Yeah, like, they're the set that's right after us, I believe. Yeah.
I think so.
And, yeah. I don't know. Casey, what do you feel about that?
Oh, no, it's going to be good. Yeah, we're going to go through our...
Do you have your set already planned
yeah,
out?
Yeah, we're still figuring it out in terms of track order. We're definitely going to play most everything on the EP, but...
Do you have new ones?
Yeah. We're figuring out this... Yeah, we're figuring out this new song right now. I want
to
make sure it's polished and sounding okay, because we have more time than we've ever had before, like with most shows, this 45-minute set, so we want to try and fill the space.
Yeah, I mean, we really do. Like, you know, like when you're opening for a lot of bigger bands, you have a time limit that they kind of instill. Like, you have this much time,
right?
Like 30 minutes or 35 minutes. And, you know, and it sounds stupid, but 45 minutes is still extra time. So we want to fill the space and the new song that we're working on. There is a new song. There's a couple of new songs. They're coming along. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
I think we're fairly pleased. They're not to where we want them quite yet. But Treefort will be the time teller.
Force that on us, yeah.
Yeah, any more questions for us there, sir?
Sure.
Come on, Will, what do you got?
Lay your synchronicity on us. Do you know what synchronicity is?
No.
Not really.
You don't. Not everyone does.
Yeah. Is this like a culty thing?
It's a little bit. Have you ever heard David Lynch say, "Let's make some happy accidents today"?
Oh my God.
Basically, that's why I started asking that question, because I said it was kind of serendipitous. I mean, the artwork that you guys have on your album looks like something, you know, that Radiohead might have on there. Some people would spend a lot of money. And then the fact that you got that out of an old, you know, family.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
treasure chest is kind of serendipitous.
I think we paid $0 for
it. And it looks good. It looks presentable. It looks like high quality stuff, like somebody would send off for something like that. You know, there's somewhere, you know, there's a band saying, "What should we do for our album art?" And there's a bunch of guys in a room going, "You should put an old man in a European city." And it goes with the music so very well. Like, it's awesome to put on your tracks on SoundCloud and listen to them and see. And you know, it's the same thing, the same feeling I used to get when I listened to albums and I would just stare at the album cover and say, somehow, this encapsulates what they're doing.
Perfect.
So,
I think that's what we're really going for, too. I mean, really. And, I mean, I don't want to go off topic with the record or thing, but we do have it on Bandcamp, but also, and I am going to stress this, I think we sold all of our physical copies for the most part. I don't think we have many more left right now. And so if people want to go find the music, it is on Spotify. The album is on Spotify. If you want to go stream it and listen to it, you know, please do. But also if you want to purchase it, you know, it is on iTunes.
As a final question, what kind of cut? So, like, this is the problem I'm having with all these artists. Where do you guys get the best cut at? From iTunes? From Amazon? From Bandcamp?
iTunes.
iTunes.
Yeah, which is kind of sad, but yeah.
Yeah.
iTunes, yeah, even though it's like, yeah.
Because, like, Amazon, I picked up Twerps for $5.
Well,
shit,
I think
free.
I think our album is $5.
Yeah.
Or, like, $5.50 or something on iTunes. So, if you want, I mean, it's an EP. it's an EP in the sense of the song structure, but the actual album length or the CD length is almost a full album. I mean, it's what, 36?
It's like 30 something minutes. iTunes, yeah.
iTunes, so, okay.
Yeah. Just throwing that out there. But whatever.
So you guys, all right. That was 42 minutes. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you, guys. You've been so great. Hey, Will. You there, Will? Great. Thanks for hanging out with us, Will.
I'm here. Sorry. You guys, it's been a lot of fun. And to our listeners, you've been listening to Transistor Sin on SyncBook Radio, a production of thesyncbook.com. Information about the work of Transistor Sin can be found at transistorsin.bandcamp.com. For more information about the SyncBook, our guests, check out past shows, or to subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, please be sure and visit our website at 42minutes.com. If you like the podcast and would like to go deeper, consider becoming a member. Some of the membership benefits include full access to the complete audio archives, discounts on books, behind-the-scenes scripts, bonus audio and video, as well as monthly online hangouts with the host. All this and more can be found at thesyncbook.com/membership. Thanks so much, and now you can finally start thinking about the next day. Have a good night.
Drive. Thank you.